Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim. Hi, everyone. Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Glad you could join us again this week for our podcast. This is our 25th episode. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe and listen to some of the interviews that we've conducted over the last number of months with leaders. And this week, we're very happy to have with us Nancy Briefs. Nancy is the CEO of Alteryx Bio. She is a serial entrepreneur, has started over 7 companies in her career, and has raised over $500 million in equity. She is very active in the Boston area startup community and is seen as a trusted advisor to founders as well as to boards. She served on a number of boards herself, and she was selected as Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year. We're looking forward to our conversation with Nancy today. First off, can you give us just a little bit of your career history and a little bit of your background?
Terrific. Yeah, I'm a serial entrepreneur, or as my husband says, I'm serially crazy. I'm on my 7th startup, wow. Alteryx Bio. And prior to this, I actually started my career at Pfizer on the drug side, and then moved to Edwards, where I fell in love with cardiovascular devices and heart valves, and came up through sales and marketing, and then decided to move over early before it was really kind of popular to do startups. Sure. Was at one of the first startups in the monitoring space for mixed venous oxygen saturation, Oxymetrics, which was sold to the Abbott company, Sorensen Division. Great. So I've spent my whole career kind of looking at innovations, partnering with physicians and scientists to bring new technologies to the market.
Nancy, if you were able to go back and talk to a 22-year-old self, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself?
I think the advice I'd give myself is to find your passion, and then make sure that in the journey you enjoy the ride, so to speak. There were times where I found myself being a complete workaholic and did not really have good balance in my life. So I think that doing that today is really important. And actually, I think the millennials are probably better equipped to do that than maybe we were in my generation.
Any advice that you received now looking back you would have ignored?
I would say the only advice I would have ignored was when I was very young, the more established people in the industry said, oh, you're too young to do that or to take that risk or try that project. And I would say you need to ignore that. And it took me a while to really get the confidence to get through that early in my career. So I wish I would have ignored it earlier.
The importance of mentors in your life, thinking back on people that have made an impact on you, who are some of those people, and how important is it for a new CEO to have mentors in their life?
I was lucky throughout my career because I had some really great mentors. One of the early mentors I had was Howard Pilewski at Collagen Corp. Howard spent a great amount of time mentoring his management team and really teaching us about business and how that translated into what we were doing on a daily basis. It was before I'd gone to get my MBA, so it was the first time I really got a look at P&Ls and understanding that it wasn't just about building great technology, but also something that could be a viable business. So he was a very early mentor to me before I became an entrepreneur. Once I became an entrepreneur, one of the early VCs that invested in me that taught me more than anyone was Jack Gill, who was formerly at Vanguard. And he had an incredible knack for being practical, but also making sure that you learned through every experience. And that you considered all the options when you were thinking about strategy. And he was also there when things weren't going so well to, you know, to help you understand that that was just part of the ebb and flow of being a CEO. So he was a tremendous mentor. And I have a very funny story to share of one of his mentoring experiences with me was, this was quite a few years ago, and he said, you know what, you need to put together an org chart for the board meeting. And I didn't know how to use the software to do an org chart, right? So I found something online, and it had the CEO on the left and then all the team off on the right. And I said it to him, and he called me up and he said, you're supposed to be on the top, you nut, you know? So I thought it was, you know, he was just that kind of way. He could, you know, not embarrass you, but also make you understand what needed to get done.
So you've also been a mentor to others. How important is it as you go further in your career to be a mentor to other young leaders and people that you can have some positive influence on?
For me, I feel it's an absolute must. I think that we need to give back and pay it forward to the next generations and the people coming up behind us. So I have taken it very seriously. I every year mentor anywhere between 3 and 6 first-time CEOs and to different degrees. One of the terrific programs we have in Massachusetts is called Mass Next Gen, which is a program specifically organized by the state for first-time female CEOs. So that's been, we're in our second year, and the first class did extremely well. 4 of the 6 have raised money, and their teams are off and operating. So that's been good. But I also have done a fair amount of mentoring for male CEOs as well that I do individually.
You're looking at, you've built a number of teams over the years as far as executive teams. What advice would you give someone is maybe putting together their first executive team, and what are some tips that you would give to a new CEO?
I think the most important thing when you're building the team is to understand before you start that process what kind of culture you're trying to build and your lead and what kind of leader you are, because there are a lot of people that have the skill set that can fit the jobs that you're looking for, but they may not have the right cultural fit. And at a startup, it's such an intimate business experience because you spend so much time together. So I start first with what kind of culture am I trying to build, then look at the needs of the organization, find people that have the skill set, but spend a lot more time on, are they the right fit? You know they can do the job. You want to figure out, will they do the job? And then most importantly, will they do it in your culture?
So do you have any favorite interview questions that you like to ask?
I do, but I'm not going to put broadcast.
Somebody's going to prep before they meet with you.
Prep, and I'm in the process. I better not do that. What I can tell you is one of the things process-wise that I do is I make sure everyone who's currently on the team meets the new potential hire, even if it means having 7 or 8 interviews, because I want the whole team to feel ownership that this is somebody that they want to work with and they feel comfortable with. And then we do have a kind of inside story that the last question I ask everyone is, would you feel comfortable getting on a plane with them and flying from Boston to San Francisco for 6 hours? Because if you don't, then that's usually a signal they're not the right person.
That's a great one. So as you're thinking back when you first started working with boards, and I know you've sat on a number of boards. How many boards have you sat on in your career?
9 plus 3. So right now, and I'm on 3 right now, so about 15.
Okay. So a new CEO coming in maybe has never worked with a board before. What advice would you give someone as they're looking at that, and how would they navigate it?
I think the most important thing is to consider the board members your partners. Mm-hmm. A long journey building technology companies, whether it's a device or digital health or a biopharma. And you're going to be with these people for a long time because they typically are your investors as well. So I always tell them to think about it as a long-term business arrangement. The other thing that I encourage first-time CEOs to do is to have an independent board member, which is typically the role I've served on boards. Mm-hmm. The reason for that is you can have someone as a first-time CEO besides your mentors that you can go to ask questions and to be able to admit, you know, I don't know, I'm stuck. What have you done in similar circumstances? Bounce ideas off. And also gives you someone who could be the conduit to the board if you're having communication issues or something that can help as well.
You know, as you're thinking about your own development and growing as a leader, are there any books that come to mind that you think would be valuable for somebody starting out or maybe midpoint in their career that have been influential in your life?
Well, there were two books. They're very kind of, I would say, almost gold standards in the industry by Dale Carnegie, because, again, I started in sales and then came up through management. And the first one was How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think it's so important. I mean, the job of the CEO really is to win over your team, your investors, the in some cases the public if you're going public, and you constantly need to be the spokesperson for your organization. I think that was a really good book. The other one that I read early on was Art in Medicine by Alan Emery. And I think it's important that people understand that what we're doing in healthcare is, you know, isn't all science. There is a lot of it is still the practice of art. And I think that was a very good book for me, particularly because I was running a lot of development teams, to understand that everything isn't an algorithm, right? That there is indeed art to the process. And that reminded me, I think, to have a bigger view of the business. And then later in my career, I read another Dale Carnegie book, How to Stop Working and Start Living, because I was a workaholic. I tend to read a lot in industry publications. I still read Fortune and the Wall Street Journal and constantly trying to pick up both leadership, best practices, and general business knowledge.
So outside of work, you mentioned about early on you're a workaholic and that it sounds like you've got more balance in your life. It's always interesting to hear what people do outside of work to kind of decompress and get re-energized. What do you enjoy doing outside of work?
So I would say my number one relaxation is my family. I'm the mother of two daughters and I have four stepchildren. My husband was a widower. And they really force me to be in the moment and what's going on. And so I like to spend time with them. We're a fairly athletic family. So we ski in the winter and we have a lake house where we swim and boat in the summer. So I find family and sports are the things for me. I like to play golf, but I'm not very good. Sometimes I find it's more frustrating. Right. And relaxing. I do like to be on the golf course too.
So any parting advice that you would give a leader?
I think the most important thing about being a leader is to be genuine, to understand what your strengths are and your weaknesses, and that you don't have to have all the answers, but you have to have all the questions. Mm. So if you really think about your business and the questions, that's the most important part. And then I'd like to treat my team as my equal. You know, we're in it together. It's a team effort. It never happens on its own. And I also like to hire people that are smarter than me. because I find, motivating them is very easy. They know what they're doing and you get, you know, more of a synergistic team.
Great. Well, thank you, Nancy. This has been a lot of fun and definitely appreciate your thoughts and your insights and wish you continued success in your career.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.